This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We've been talking about blessed. Let me just read this to you. I won't have them put this on the screen. We started, it seemed like a long time ago, but we started this series, and it was based off this text in the book of Psalms, the very first Psalm. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight's in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. So we've been talking about the idea of being blessed. And one of the themes that has really come out in this series is, if you want God's blessings, we have to do things God's way. And so we have seen that over and over. And so we begin to ask, how do we begin to understand God's ways? How do we begin to walk in God's ways? The book of Isaiah has a very interesting passage. Maybe those of you, if you've been in church for a while, you may have heard this one. It's found in Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 8 and 9. God is the author here. He is speaking. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I don't think people would argue with you if you said, are God's ways higher? Are his ways, are they a higher way than our way? And I think most of us will go, absolutely, they are. Well, for example, think about God's ways and our ways. You know, God's way is love. Our way, we have to work on love. Our way is typically selfishness. God's way is faith. Our way that we see around us and see the prevailing thought and the prevailing things around us is fear. God deals with things that are not seen, says that the unseen is more real than the seen. We deal with things that we can see and feel and touch. And so God says, my ways are higher ways. My thoughts are higher thoughts. And so the idea then is, well, yeah, that's great. Lord, you know, I'm glad your ways are higher, but it leaves me out. But I read the verse, actually, I read almost out of progression, because there is a progression to this. If you just take that verse alone and you could step there and go, well, great. God's ways are higher, his thoughts are higher, and that leaves me out in the cold. And it doesn't. Because the preceding verses say this, Isaiah 55, 6, and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. That's the day we're living in today. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous his thoughts. Now, don't get caught up in wicked, because some of you are thinking, I am not wicked. I mean, I'm bad sometimes, but I am not wicked. And that word wicked really just means simply twisted. There's God's way, which is truth, and anything else is twisted. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So the idea is what we're learning to do, and it's what we do on Wednesday night, is we're learning to get, what are God's thoughts on this? What are God's ways on this? And so our Christian life then becomes a process of learning God's ways and God's thought and leaving our ways behind and adopting his. And you say, well, how do I find God's word? I mean, God's ways and thoughts. It's God's word. He's given us a whole book that outlines his ways and thoughts. And so as we abandon ours and accept his, it changes things in our life. Another phrase for that in the New Testament is called renewing the mind. We're learning to think differently. And if you just stop and just think for a moment, if you've been a believer for a length of time, and maybe you've been here or you've studied or you've come to Wednesday night, I'm going to talk to Wednesday nighters. How many of you have been here for more than a year? Of those of you who've been here for more than a year, I want you to think something. Do you think a little bit differently now than you did a year ago? And you know, here's the wonderful thing. That can continue to develop. I really don't think we're ever going to reach the point where we just go, that's it. I know everything. I know you know people like that. But no one here tonight. But the idea is we're constantly learning. constantly growing. That's why I always encourage young Christians, don't get discouraged. If you feel like, man, I just don't know any stuff, and I can't quote but two Bible verses, and I don't even know if I get those right. You just stay in here. You remember me telling you about Joy. Y'all think Joy is just, I know y'all think she's a lot more spiritual than I am. Your laughter pains me, but I know you think that. And you're right. So, but when Joy and I met, she didn't know diddly squat about the Bible. Nothing. I'd take her to church every time Pastor Osteen at Lakewood would give the altar call. Joy would stand up to get saved over and over again. I'm like, would you sit down? You're embarrassing me. She did not know her Bible. She did. She's never been taught. She was raised in a church where they really didn't emphasize learning Scripture. Some of you were raised in the same way. No need to feel bad. But here's what she did do. She decided that she was going to read God's Word and become a student of God's Word. And now she's strong in it. Joy knows verses that, like back in those Old Testament prophets, like Malachi. The only Italian in the Bible, Malachi. Just, you know, Book of Hezekiah. Yeah, all the... It's a joke, people. There is no book. I'm pitching them, son. You ain't catching them, all right? Let's go. She knows why. It over time, you learn. That's why don't get discouraged. Just keep coming. Keep learning. A bunch of hands went up. People said, I think differently now than I did a year from now. And you know what? 5 years from now, you'll continue to grow. I look back on some of the things I did when I was a new Christian. I went, oh, gosh. What was I thinking? But you know what? The Lord is merciful, and He'll meet you right where you are. He will meet you right where you are. And then as you begin to grow, you'll be merciful to people who are like you. You've heard me talk about bringing people, inviting me over. Just come, amen. It's like, hey, this guy was cussing. He's out in the lobby. He's cussing, man. He's like, man, you're the best blankety blank pastor I ever heard. I didn't look at him and go, brother, you're going to hell. He was sincere as he can be. I mean, sometimes it takes a little while between when you say I do to the Lord and all those bad habits and stuff drop off. But here's the deal. You ever seen a tree with in the fall? Now, here we don't really have fall. Here we have summer, late summer, 2 weeks of winter, and then spring again, right? But there is a time when you look up and you see a tree and all the leaves are brown, but they're still hanging on. If you'll stay with the Lord, bad habits are a lot like that. You'll stay with Him, man, there's no life going to those things. Sooner or later, they're going to drop off. If you'll stay with Him, those things begin to drop off, and the life you're living now is going to be very different from the life you live a year from now, 2 years from now. If you'll just stay with Him, those old habits will drop off like dead leaves off a tree. Because there's no life going to them anymore. Now there's life in you. So stay with it. I had that in me this afternoon. I just want to encourage you. I'll encourage you. Stay with it. That is half the Christian battle. It's just staying in there. So, Alan, we're Wednesday night people. We're the elite. I know that, but maybe there's someone that snuck in tonight that doesn't normally come on Wednesday night. Staying with it is half of it. Now, there's a great question that as we're talking about abandoning our ways, our thoughts. Here's a great question is, Lord, how should I be thinking about this? That's a great prayer. Any of you face difficult circumstances or situations, how should I be thinking about this? And so what we're learning is, as we begin to learn what God's Word says on it, we begin to shift our thoughts. You know, a common thought on work is you do enough to get by, make sure they're not seeing you, and, you know, you just skate by. You don't want to do too much for the man. Because if you do, they'll take advantage of you. You may have ever heard that thought? You're working for the man, they're going to take advantage of you. You know, the Bible says something very different. In 1 Timothy 6:1, we won't go there, but I'll just quote it to you. Paul's writing to servants. He said, let as many servants or people who are actually in slavery, he said, count their own masters worthy of all honor or respect. He said, so that God and his teaching are not slandered. Now, see, that's a whole different way of thinking, isn't it? We go to work and we think, well, I'm going to work, and maybe if I work hard, I can get a promotion. Maybe if I can own my own business, maybe I can get to another place. But it's a whole different way of thinking to think, you know what? I want to do a good job. I'm going to be respectful to the bosses who aren't even good. Not because they're awesome and they deserve it. So that God and his teaching are not slandered. I can feel the quiet. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Let me just stop on that just for a second. When I worked for a company called Administaff, they're now called Insperity, I'd had some years in sales that weren't that good. And I got right up to the point where I knew the Lord was talking to me about starting the church. I think I had kind of shaken the Lord off for a while. Do you know what I'm talking about shaking off? For those of you who understand baseball, you know, a catcher will give a sign to a pitcher, and the pitcher's on the mound, and he's like, which means, I don't want that. So the Lord's giving me the start the church sign. I'm like, so finally when I smartened up and realized I need to do this, I'd gone through a couple of bad years in sales to the point where my manager called me in. He said, Alan, he said, man, we love you, but you got to do better than this. So you're going on probation. That's not a good feeling. And here's where I felt bad. Everyone knew I was a Christian. They knew it. Not only was I a Christian, I'm in ministry. Not only am I a Christian in ministry, I'm going to start a church one day. Everybody knew that. And I remembered it bothered me. So when I finally agreed to start, I finally just looked at the Lord and went, which was the smartest thing you can ever do. And the Lord goes, you go, good idea, Lord. When we finally agreed to start the ark, I'm looking at some bad sales. So now I'm what they call bivocational, which is a religious word for extremely busy. I'm starting a church. I'm working as a sales rep. I'm full time. And my sales manager calls me in. He said, Alan, he said, tell me how the church is going. I said, how did you know? He said, I know everything. I didn't know he knew. You know, only 27 people in Conroe knew. How in the world did he know? And so I never forget what I looked at him. He's a friend of mine. He's a believer. I said, Steve, I said, I'd like the opportunity, I said, to stay. I said, because I want to leave on top. I don't want anyone saying Alan couldn't cut it in sales, so he ran to the ministry. What am I doing? Is that some awesome thing? No, that's what that verse I just shared with you. I don't want God and his teaching slandered. Does that make sense? So that's a different way of thinking. So Steve said, sure. He said, as long as you can sail. I had the best 6 months of sales. Man, the Lord helped me. We crushed it. Won a trip. Was in their president's club. But the thing that gave me the most peace in my heart is I'm going into this going, anyone that says that knows Alan said he didn't run to the ministry. He left this job to go to the ministry. So God and his teaching are not slandered. Does that make sense? It's what I'm talking about is just a very different way of thinking. That's why I really believe at heart, those of us who work for someone else, we should be the best employees anyone has. Where are my young people? I know there's a group of them sitting all over in here. There you are. You can't hide. you want to excel. I know right now with millennials, the jobs aren't as available. and the good jobs are not as plenteous as they used to be, I believe there's always good jobs for someone who goes over and beyond and does an outstanding job. And if you'll purpose in your heart, I'm going to do this for the Lord, it will open up doors to you that no man can shut. And God and His teaching are honored. I would love to see it where one day you have employers calling us going, "You got anybody? You got anybody?" Because the people that come out of that church are stout, man. They work. They've got a great attitude. They're awesome. Wouldn't that be great to have people calling? "I'm sorry, I'm going to have to put you on hold. We'll get back with you. What are you paying?" I would love to see. You're laughing. I think it's going to come to a place where God's people do such a good job that we excel so that God is honored and we're there. Many of those people clapping are managers and employers. They're like, "Yes, praise them. Bring them, bring them." You see what I'm saying, though? Different thinking, different ways. Applying God's words and God's ways. Oh, it's y'all's fault. Y'all just took me off on a trail. But how many of you know if we go off on a trail like that, that was God's plan initially? And we just need to go. God's going. We're like, no, we want to go, uh-huh. All right. Here, I want to talk a little bit about applying God's ways and thoughts. In Mark, the 4th chapter, is one of the most well-known verses or passages in the New Testament of the parables that Jesus taught. And Jesus put a lot of emphasis on this one. We see it repeated 3 times. And it's a lot of emphasis, and it's the parable of the sower sows the word. And what he's talking about there, and the reason he repeats it, is what we're finding is it's the fruitfulness, the amount of God's character and nature that is produced in our lives. It's not up to God. It has everything to do with us. Now, that might come as a surprise, but some of you know Christians who you just think, man, these are strong Christians, and they're awesome people. Maybe God loves them more than He does me, and that's not true. Or maybe they have like a special gifting, and they're more gifted to be able to understand the word and put it into practice, and that's not true. You've heard me say this, but it bears repeating, that I have a grace and anointing on my life to lead this church and to preach and teach. But when it comes, when the Bible closes and I go home, I have to apply God's word to my life the very same way that you do. In other words, I don't have an advantage. Breathe. Now, some of you are thinking, okay, you don't, but I know Joy does. No, Joy has to live with me. That is not an advantage. But think about it. Actually, those of us who preach and teach, actually, the Bible says we have a disadvantage to the point that we receive greater condemnation. Because I preach to you, and then if I go home and I'm not living it, my wife looks at me and she can repeat my sermon back to me. How about this? What about that love walk, Mr. Walk-In Love? 2 preachers in the same home, guys, it can get tough. And when we go at one another, it's not like we're calling names. We're like, we're whipping scriptures out. Oh, you got a scripture for me? I got one for you. The sword of the Spirit. We're going to bring it out here. So application, all of us have a very level playing field of taking God's word and the ability to apply in our life. Now, Jesus is talking in Mark, the 4th chapter, and what he talks about is it's the inward condition, it's the heart condition that makes all the difference. The sower sows the word. You're talking about God's word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear God's word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble, they get offended. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns, and they're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. That's you, right? Right. One amen. all eight of you. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So I'm running a little behind, but so let me just talk about that real quickly. It's saying that if we hear God's word and begin to put God's word into our heart, begin to act on it, begin to let it change our thinking and change our ways, it is going to produce godly fruit in our life. Amen. True? Yes. Many of us have seen that effect. We changed. I've had people walk up and go, my life has changed. Started coming to church, my life has changed. My marriage has changed. My family has changed. Things have changed. Why? You took God's word, you put it into your heart, you begin to act on it, it began to change you. And it will change you. It's powerful. But Jesus, then you say, well, I don't like the idea that Satan can immediately steal it. He cannot steal it from you if you receive it. Hard-hearted means, so you ever heard something and you thought, I don't believe that. Gone. That doesn't apply to me. Gone. The enemy will talk you right out of it. And so the key is, and so Jesus is giving indications of this is the heart. First, when he said, you're by the wayside, you're by the path, it's hard. You throw it out. Have you ever tried to talk to someone who's hard-hearted? They weren't going to hear it. I see you sometimes. You look at me like, man, I wish you'd finish. You can just tell that blessings are not just rolling over the top of them. They're like, well, you're not going to get much out of it. You know, you can put two people side by side, same sermon. One of them is just so blessed. They're taking notes. They're like, great. Other one's like. I still don't look at Joy to this day. Because when I first started preaching, Joy would sit there on the front row like this. She had this look of terror on her face like, what is he going to say next? So I stopped looking at her. I finally told Matt, I said, if anything ever happens to Joy while I'm preaching, I said, you're going to have to do something because I'm not going to see her. But sometimes people are like this, they're not going to listen. The enemy will steal it from you. I mean, many of you heard the word of salvation long before you ever accepted it. You heard it and you're like, nah. You blew it off. Did it work in your life? No, not yet. Next group, he said, is a group that they hear the word and they receive it with gladness. Like, hey, that's y'all, right? Y'all, we got to work on this enthusiasm level here. I want to tell you that. I'm giving you all the benefit of the doubt here. That is y'all. You receive it with gladness. So here we go. There's my woo-woos. All right. He said, but when the heat of the, or this is not y'all, but when the pressure comes on, they abandon it. Probably one of the biggest heartbreakers to me. You see someone come in, they come to a relationship with Christ, they're doing so good. And something happens in their life. And I'm like, what happened to them? They're like, oh man, they're out of church. Some of you know people like that. Go get them. Go find them. Go tell them to come back. All's forgiven. We love them. We want them to grow. Go find them. Because the heat came on and they got offended or got mad or upset. And now they're doubly unhappy. Because in their heart, they know the right way. And then they're not living the right way. I can speak to that. Man, when you're away from God, you are a miserable individual. When you know God and then you get away from Him, you can't smoke and drink enough to make that pain go away.
That's right.
Oh, bless all you visitors. I love y'all. All right. Third group. Third group is the one I think so many, especially in the culture we're living today, I think this is one of the keys. They hear the word, they receive it, and they are so distracted. There are so many things going on. Man, I'm trying to make money. I'm trying to make more money than this, and just so focused, cares of this world. What does so and so think? What the? So social media is not helping us there. Boy, they're doing studies on social media. Say over 50% of the people on social media are upset because they think somebody else has a better life than they do. I mean, they studied over 16,000 participants in over 8 countries. And I'm not anti-social media, guys. What I'm saying is, if it's causing you problems, set it down. set it down, you realize that people are doing brand management on social media. Everything is wonderful in their life. They don't have a single problem. Most people aren't putting, man, what a lousy day, on social media. And if they are, it's just like, I don't want to read them. They're bumming me out. But there's so many things that we're, and Bible said the desires of everything else entering, so many distractions, that they hear God's word, but man, they just, yeah, I got so many other things going on. He said, but the ones on good ground, the ones they hear it, they stay up with it, they persevere. Remember me? Persevering, that's half of it. They stay focused, and they produce fruit. I won't be tonight. But I want to talk about next week. And I want to talk about something in particular. Anybody remember Dr. Mark Rutland? Yes. Wonderful, wonderful minister. Loved having him come. He talked about in his book on the Lord's Prayer how he went through one of the darkest times of his life and how he came out of it by taking the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm. Many of you have been doing that. And how it made such a difference in his life. I really want to talk about that. I want to get to it tonight. But I want to talk about that next week. Because it works, all of these principles work together. And we'll see where his when he began to focus on something other than his problems, other than the situations going on, and he began to grab a hold of and take God's word and put it in his heart, it changed his life. Him and another guy named Gary Smalley. Remember, anybody know of Gary Smalley? Yeah. Gary Smalley, another one that talked about, and these guys found out late in life that you can put God's word in on a consistent basis and it will produce fruit in your life. So, can you come back? Yeah. Good. Well, I promise you we'll go right there. I will. I promise you we'll go right there next week. Fair enough? Y'all be back. Y'all park in the green. We'll all come back together. Visitors, y'all, please come back. Give us another shot, all right? Hey, let's take a moment and pray before we go. People come in here all the time, and they really, sometimes people come in and go, man, Alan, I just need God in my life. I need a relationship with the Lord. I don't have that. Or people sometimes will say, Alan, I had a relationship with the Lord, and I got away from Him. I fell away. You're sitting there tonight thinking, man, will God take me back? The answer is yes. Will God take me and all the stuff I've done? The answer is yes. It's not based on your goodness. It's based on His goodness and what He's already done for you. So we're going to say a prayer. We're not going to have you stand up. We're not going to have you come to the front. That's not the objective. The objective is that we can pray with you and you can make a connection with God that can change your life and your eternity in a marvelous way. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around, please. If that's you and you're saying, man, I want that. I really do. I need God in my life, or I need Him back in my life. Would you pray for me? We're going to do that. Would you slip up your hand just to acknowledge it? We're not going to call you out, but you're saying, Alan, that's me tonight. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate your courage. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Way up there. Yeah, thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. On this side. Anybody? Yeah, got it. Good. Great. Yes. All over. Thank you. Yeah, way in the back. Good. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you wanted to. You can still pray this prayer with us. This is a heart prayer. We're going to join you in it. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Father, thank You for those many hands that went up. Thank You for those who have come back to You, those who have received You for the very first time. Thank You, Father, for the capacity and the ability to walk out of darkness into Your marvelous light. Thank You for what You've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.